from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Now back to 95.7 The Game.
Dan Devone just always during the break, he finds ways to just, I don't know, the questions that you ask Dan, they are prudent, they're poignant, and they are direct. Why are airplanes so damn cold?
Oh, no, man. It's just freezing. Like, you leave the heat and humidity of New York, and so you're in a t-shirt because you're sweltering, and then you get on that flight.
Yeah, you're sweating right now.
Oh, my God, man. It's like, come on. I need a parka. I don't know if it's just, you know, it has something to do with, you know, the air ventilation. That's the other thing. You're breathing everybody else's air and those things. I still mask up, man. I don't trust anybody. Bro, I don't know. I'm freezing. I'm freezing in those flights.
You trust me?
You, come on, man. You're my right-hand man.
Well, that's why I'm glad. So hold my hand through this one. And look, I'm going to get to my Brandon Ayuk tease in a moment. There's also, it also
oh,
has to do
can we check in on the career? Because I was telling somebody the other day, I want to be the guy's agent. Because once again, if you're not familiar with Evan Giddings,
well, I'm a free agent, Dano.
Headed to the top. So we're all going to be playing the game. I remember when. Evan, do you it's going to be like, you know,
I turned 30 tomorrow.
You ever go to a baseball, you know, you're, you know, like there's fans like during, you get to a baseball game like a half an hour, an hour, 45 minutes before, and players are hitting batting practice.
Yeah.
And then you've got those fans that are leaning over from the front row and they're screaming to the players as they walk back and forth or sort of mill around.
Sure.
And oftentimes there are people like myself that are going to be saying, hey, Chapman, you remember me? We used to have, you know, fourth period together back in Monta Vista High School. Chap, look over here. We went,
like, oh, Devone, what's going on, man? Dude, I used to cheat off you all the time.
Yeah, well, that's going to be all of us when we go, Ev, you know, when you're going in and out of your private limo straight into the garden in New York. Ev, we used to do a show Saturday morning, San Francisco. Remember back in the day? And you may just turn and give me a head nod. No, make my day.
I do find it funny because the way you belittle your own stature just always, always makes me cackle. For example, I was running this by Carter before the show. So one thing that kind of peeved us, and to divert off the 49ers for a moment, we'll get right back to it. We got Trent, we got BA, we got Lynch Sound coming your way. But there was something that I found hilarious over the weekend, which is Draymond Green and LeBron James partying in... Let me guess. All right, you know, I'm assuming you know how to pronounce this city. Is it Cannes. Yeah. Of course you do.
Yeah.
Have you been there?
Yeah, the film festival.
That's $5. I bet, Carter, that
oh,
you
it's
would...
awesome, man.
Of course it is. Of course.
Yeah.
You are Mr. International.
No. It's, I went just 1 year, so it's, well, have you ever seen Entourage? It's like where you unveil sort of these,
well, it's Cannes Film Festival, I'm familiar with.
Yeah. So it's basically, it's just a big party, essentially. I went 1 year, and it was right after we had watched an Entourage special. Me and a buddy at the time in Seattle decided that we got to go do this. But Entourage, that episode, does Entourage predate you guys? Carter, you don't remember Entourage?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it dictated my life there for a while. And so basically there was
I can
this
picture
one
you walking in one.
Me and a guy by the name of Scott Angler said it's on our bucket list of things that we got to do. So I strongly recommend it. But anyways,
Dan and Scotty.
Now, my man, I think that, you know, your career is just, I'm telling everybody out there just to keep an eye on it because, you know, you've got to struggle with whether or not you want to do this or play by play. But I think you got to go, you know, play by play full tilt.
Yeah, I mean, I'd love to, and you know, I'll be doing get the drop ready. But gonna be doing, you know, 20 events this year in the fall for Santa Clara, some West Coast Conference soccer, volleyball, water polo, basically whatever they ask me.
Let me ask you this:
yeah,
when the Oakland A's,
oh boy,
go to Las Vegas officially,
yeah,
I think that you're in. I really do. I want to tell you right now. You know who you need to contact? Larry Bear, if you happen to be listening. Because Larry Bear, you know Larry Bear did A's games when he was at the University of California.
Really?
He was in college.
Berkeley?
He was in college at Cal. And
he was part of the student station?
He did games. It was called KALX.
Yeah. So, no, it's still around.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
And he did Oakland A's play-by-play at age 20, whatever, 21, 22.
Really?
Oh, yeah. So Larry Bear, while he's connected, obviously, with the San Francisco Giants, he's the one guy that I think is with San Francisco that has his tentacles all around Major League Baseball and is the one guy I would say that you need to sort of like get a hold of.
Oh, I'll give him a ring. How about that?
But when the A's go, so my point being is that stranger things have happened, whether they want to go young, they want a new face, and sometimes, you know, guys just simply don't want to make the trip, or where you go to a new city and they want a clean house. I'm telling you, I think you're in 2 years. It's Las Vegas, baby. Welcome to the Las Vegas A's. It's 110 today as we play a double dip out in
Dude, that place is going to be incredibly difficult to get fans to get packed. I don't think it has a roof, number one. It's going to be 110,
what?
You're right, every single day. Yeah, God, if I can digress for a moment.
There's no roof?
The architectural idiocy of that place is going to blow whatever the next dumbest built building is out of the water. Like, there's a reason why the Texas Rangers moved off their Arlington Park in less than 15 years, and it was still a very nice place, is because you can't play baseball in the middle of the summer in a freaking sauna.
It's unacceptable!
Yeah, in the desert. It doesn't work. So, trying to get, like, I understand the Raiders model, and they're cash cows. They're pulling money hand over fist right now.
That's a nice stadium.
Allegiant's beautiful. But it also, you only have to pack it, what, 8-9 times a year?
Yeah.
You know, they're selling events and they'll do concerts and things around. And I'm sure the A's will eventually do that too in Las Vegas. But number one, if they can even get the place built, I also believe that there might be a purgatory effect in them just getting stuck in Sacramento for quite some time. It's going to be retractable. Yeah. I still don't see how the temperature is going to hold up. That's just me. Arizona does it right. Like, every single place has a dome that needs to have one, or a roof. And even if there is a way to minimize the heat, trying to book 81 dates over the course of a summer is just a task that I don't think people in the city of Las Vegas have really thought about, because baseball is not a big tourist attraction.
Yeah.
Like, it's not. It's a local sport, or has become a local sport. And you need a firm fan base to fill the ballpark. And I don't see there how they're going to do it.
That's always been the big question with Las Vegas. And so I don't know that the Raiders necessarily answered that, because when you think about having a professional team in Las Vegas and drawing from their fan base, well, who is that? Because it's such a transient city, right? Like, who are the fans? Everybody's just coming and going. And I don't know.
Chain smokers? I don't know.
The Raiders are just, again, because it's only 8 or 9 games a year and it's sort of a destination. You can get away with it. But when you get an NBA or you get a Major League Baseball team, it'll be interesting to see just exactly who those natives are. And are there enough of them to support a professional team? Because the majority of Las Vegas people are in and out, right? Or there for maybe a couple of months.
So, well, the entire point of an expansion team is that there's a fan base that's ready to lift the attendance. I mean, that's one of the reasons why the A's purportedly are leaving is because they don't feel like there's enough fans that can attend games, and the numbers show it. But I just don't see how you're going to go from a number that they are currently at to a number that is acceptable by major league standards to get you back to, I don't know. I don't see it. I just don't see it. But again, the A's and the Giants will play regardless tonight in Oakland. I think there's going to be a nice crowd tonight. I'll be there. Carter will be there. I know you're flying out, Dan, but I would love to get you out to the Collie one last time.
Let's go, man. Bring out the pigskin. You know, get a couple of bangers on the grill. Get a little pony keg going.
A pony keg.
Do it proper, as they like to say. I will be
today
that guy.
I'll bury a keg somewhere in the parking lot, and that way when we show up in September, it'll be waiting for us. How about that?
I will be that guy that will have a football in the back seat of my rig until I'm 75. Like I will never. I don't care how. This is a true story. So I was racing to a game at Safeco Field back in the day, and it was a play. I was so late, right? And I had to do a hit, like I was doing something pregame, and this is on television, and I was so late, but I saw these kids playing catch with a football. I still had to stop and say, hey, get me one. And just catch it. Like, I will never be able to pass up anybody at a beach, whatever the random spot might be, where somebody is playing catch with a football. I maybe get this from my dad. I have got to at least catch one. And then, bro, go long. Just give me an out. Give me a little slant. Let me put it on you.
Yeah, whether it's a regulation size pigskin, a Nerf ball. Shoot. I mean,
Nerfs used to be the thing back then.
I feel like you'd catch a baseball barehanded if someone would let you run a fly route.
Kevin Mitchell, back in the day.
Dude, that's true. Was MVP. It for the Giants or the Astros?
No, MVP season. He caught one against the Reds.
The Reds?
Foul territory.
Barehanded?
Barehanded, yeah.
Pretty impressive. Might be seeing that later on today if I catch a foul ball. Can we get something in the third deck today? Please. Please.
I mean, you're going to sit upstairs? What is that going to cost you? 75 cents?
75 bucks.
Really?
Swear to God, man.
For A's tickets?
Dude, they are extorting me today.
Wow.
And I will... I hate to admit it, but I will gladly give them my money. Oh, man, I love that
Carter,
place.
Carter, how'd you get caught up in all of this?
He's an A's fan.
I might be an A's fan now. I don't know.
Jeez.
As of 2 months ago. Dude, I'm telling you, the bandwagon, we got room.
All right. Hey, listen, it's happened before.
Baptism by fire.
When I was a kid, if I can get out there and have some good little pregame and some tailgate and then be able to see the guy. I'm not dropping a couple of bills, like 200 bills to get a beer and park the rig and watch that crappy team play.
Yeah, I mean, it's not the Cannes Film Festival, but, you know, it's it's a pretty nice place to watch, you know, some opposing talent.
All right.
The Yankees are coming to town. You can go see Judge, Soto, Giancarlo, your boy Volpe.
Oh, do we want to even go there?
Ant-Man. Yeah, I don't know if we have enough time
for Volpe. Do you want to talk Soto rumors?
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Speaking of which.
Again, I promise we will get back to the Niners. I will pay off the tease about Brandon Ayuk, and I will make Dan defend his statement that Steph Curry's in the same stratosphere as Muhammad Ali. But before we do that, during the break, and this all happens during the break, this is where we get our show material, I was reading on the internet that there's an anonymous MLB insider. I don't know who it is. My guess would be Bob Nightingale or John Heyman or one of the rest, who thinks that the Giants, God, just get the carousel music out, are going to be in on acquiring the services of one Juan Soto this summer, who will be a free agent. What's the first thing that you think of when you hear that? Because I feel like that title or that headline has been written.
Yeah.
18 different times with just a different big name free agent.
Just put that on Farhan's headstone. Like, that's the
Giants
title.
Are in on X.
Reminds me of Aaron Judge, quite frankly.
Judge, Otani, Harper, Stanton. Who else has been available the last couple of years? They're also going to be in on Alonso, I think, this summer.
But again, I don't think Soto would play well here. It's not. I told you my outfield of the future. It's my corner outfielders are Matos, Elliot Ramos. Elliot Ramos is not very good defensively in center field. But this kid, McCray, is.
You've seen one game and you're already willing to hand him the reins.
McCray in center field. Well, I'm done with Yastrzemski. I'm done with Flores. I'm done with Conforto. I'm done with these middling major leaguers. You're giving me nothing. So let me go young. And Luciano, that's a crime, man.
Let me just put him at shortstop.
Who?
At that point, Luciano.
No, I got Fitzgerald.
That's right, the shortstop of the future. God, I mean, he's basically a modern-day Cal Ripken.
And I'm good at second base. I like the Wisely platoon with our man, second baseman for the Giants.
Wisely?
No, Wisely's...
Schmidt?
No.
Luciano?
Estrada.
Oh, yeah, Tyro. He's working his way back from injury. Rehab assignment.
I'm good with Chapman. And
you got to convince him to stay first.
My team for... Yeah, all those... That's the other thing.
Lamont at first? Oh, that's a 90-win team.
Lamont.
That's a 90-win team.
He's sort of...
Montos, McCray, Raw. Fitzy.
Kind of reminds me of the Warriors starting five this season. Not a lot to get excited about either one of those things.
Oh, what are you talking about, Dan? Their models project they're going to be better. There was actually a report that one rival executive and their analytic model had the Warriors as the fourth best team in the Western Conference.
You know what scares me?
How about that?
You
better
Steph,
be careful.
Is what? That... I mean, last year he played, I want to say, 74 games, which is what the most he's played since 2016 or something.
Did you have coffee with him when you were in Paris?
No, man. I don't know Steph at all. Never had a conversation. You've talked to him more than I have.
I don't know about that.
But Steph, I hate saying this.
Oh, boy.
But he ain't playing 74 games again. And as much basketball as he just played, the tread on those tires are already wearing thin. There's a good chance that he's missing substantial time next year. So my only question
he's playing all 82.
To Warrior fans is when, forget about him getting hurt for a month, which you can pretty much hang your hat on, which inadvertently has worked out in a weird way for the Warriors because he's had fresh legs come the postseason. But when Steph comes out of a game or he's hurt, who scores the basketball for those Golden State Warriors?
Our guy.
Kuminga?
Yeah, 00.
Him? All right, can Kuminga and Steph sit on the bench at the same time?
Did you hear Pajemski? He's been working on his game. How about this?
I didn't have this feeling of getting better as much as I did this year, or this offseason, I should say, since my junior or senior year of high school.
20 points
and
a game.
During that time, I really noticed a jump in my game. I could feel it. I could see it. And I haven't really felt that since until this offseason.
Wow.
And I think people would ask me about the Illinois to Santa Clara. I think that was more so an opportunity than anything. But from a skill development standpoint, I feel like this offseason has been, you know, up there with the one my junior or senior of high school. So for me, I'm feeling really good. Took out the floaters, took out the hook shots, kind of putting in more mid-range stuff. More threes off the dribble, more threes off the catch. So just adding different things, and then defensively being able to, you know, take on that challenge, being out there with Steph every night, taking that challenge head on.
No hooks, you can book it.
You know, a lot of pressure on that kid.
Yeah, I know.
If he's really the reason why they wouldn't move off on him to get Paul George and or Lauri Markkanen, well, brother, you better show us why. You know what I mean? If you're the reason why we didn't get those two players because we coveted you, well, what is it that you got that's so special?
Yeah, and no, this isn't a referendum of Brandon Pajemski, but I do think that the Warriors, by not including him and all of that information leaking out, I think they've kind of put him in an unfair spot, to be honest. Like, I think Pajemski's a good player, and he showed a lot as a rookie, but I think he's going to be expected to be the starting shooting guard, and that's a lot of pressure when the shoes you're filling are a future Hall of Famers. I know Klay Thompson wasn't great last year, or, you know, maybe the past 2 years, depending on how you view him, but You're still whoever is going to be the two is being asked to fill in for Klay Thompson.
I think that thing should be wide open. It should be just like a summer tryout because maybe
this ain't varsity, Dan.
You maybe you pencil him in, but it's not in bold type. I'll put Pajemski as the number two, but I would say Moody. Even you, Wiggins, because you're really small at the guard spot if you get those two, Steph and Pajemski, aren't you? I like Moody, I would say, hey, my man, Pajemski might have you by a nose going into this thing, but you got to punch his chance. What do you got?
Well, speaking of, I don't even know if this is a word, overzealousness, you called Steph Curry Muhammad Ali.
So my checklist for greatest athletes.
Care to expand?
Would you put him in the top 10 in the NBA?
Curry?
Yeah.
Yeah, of course.
Of all time.
Of all time, yeah.
There's a lot of people that are like, when you go through it, they're like, oh, really, I'm going to move.
I mean, I don't think he's like a top three player ever, top maybe even five, but yeah, he probably cracks my top 10.
So if you're in the top 10 of your respective sport all time, the reason why I put him in that pantheon of the greatest athletes of ever is because, for me, my checklist is that...
Actually, I think that's Ali's agent. He's calling to tell you to back the hell off this statement.
So
you better be careful.
That's the better half calling me from New York City. See, man, this is what happens.
Is she listening?
No, maybe.
What's up, see?
So, good job.
Oh, come on, man.
So here's the thing. Wow, a CC shout-out. Good job, Ev. She's going to love that. So listen... For me, my checklist of what it is that entail to become the greatest athletes of all time, it's that you be in the top 10 in your respective sport. And for me, what you do off the court, ambassador, goodwill. Are you, we were talking about good guys, right? Remember we had this discussion, who are good guys on the 49ers, which I think would led me to all of this.
Yeah.
I don't know that there's ever been a better guy as far as doing it the right way and not being disingenuous about it than that of Steph Curry to ever play sports in my lifetime. Huge statement, yeah, but I stand by it. I think that because of what it is, how special he is off the court on everything that he does, not only for the Warriors, but I think for basketball in general, and just being that, you know, that special person puts him in sort of that, that rarefied air.
Well, if you're talking about most likable athletes ever, I do think Curry's got a case to be number one. I can't think of anything about the guy that I dislike, to be honest. But if you are also relitigating history, the reason why him and Ali to me are incomparable is because during his heyday, Ali was not liked. You know, he was branded a draft dodger. People felt like he was un-American. I think that's why his impact is far greater and superior to that of a Curry. Or honestly, frankly, any modern-day athlete. I don't want to just single out Curry. There's very few people that today, I think, have an opportunity, specifically in America, to do the kinds of things that Ali did. As far as greatness, 100% with you. I think Curry is up there as one of the greatest basketball players ever. I know that if you really want to go down the list... Ali and his record, you know, as a boxer, you could probably slot him somewhere in the top 10, you know, maybe top five. But pound for pound, there are other people that you could make a case for. But in terms of impact, and this is where I do think that, you know, the greatest American athletes ever, I would leave Curry out of that. That's where Ali stands alone.
Oh, yeah. Well, I don't put
but
him
like likability. Curry's. You can make a case. Curry's more likable than Ali was.
Yeah, Ali is the transcendent figure. I don't put him on the same level as Muhammad. There'll never be another Muhammad Ali. Which brings me once again to another Evan Gidding moment, bro. You are such an old soul. First of all, how you dug out Monty Moore and just in seamless transition talk about the virtues of Muhammad Ali and knowing. What and I know, listen, I wasn't alive when, you know, Lincoln got shot, but I can tell you about it. So I know we can look these things up. But
John Wilkes Booth.
For you to have the reverence for a Muhammad Ali, for a lot of kids your age, is why you're so special. No, I'm to know about what Muhammad Ali stood for off the field and civil rights and the whole Vietnam and in the late 1960s, the turbulence. To steal the line from Howard Cosell in his book, The Turbulent 1960s.
That's not a bad Cosell.
Muhammad Ali, and you don't see athletes willing to take that platform they're given and do what it is that he did. So, no, I would never. There's only one Muhammad Ali. I'm just saying that there are very few athletes that are willing to be as genuine and as it goes beyond just being nice. I mean, he does things for the community that a lot of us are not aware of, and I'm talking about Steph.
Well, that's true, and I also think in an Ali fashion, like Curry's. Look, he was the star of the Olympics on a team with arguably the greatest player of all time in LeBron James. And I think if you were to look, I mean, Curry was I think he made second team All-NBA this year. You know, it wasn't like he's coming off an MVP campaign and he's at the peak of his powers and he still found a way to steal the show in Paris and make it about him in a way that wasn't arrogant or at least, you know, they didn't make it about him in a way that was selfish. He just did what he's done seemingly at every point in his career, and that's rise of the occasion. And in that way, he is Ali-like.
By the way, when we come back, if we can just stay on the Niners for a second. So I did a hit on our old friend Chucky.
Oh, yeah.
Chucky Walters.
Yeah.
So he's now heading up Locked On Warriors.
Yes, he is.
And so I know you did a hit on there, and so he called me up and said, hey, do you have some time? And I'm like, yeah, sure. So he texts me the subject matter, and it was Steve Kerr in a hot seat.
Oh,
and
my
Steve
God.
Kerr hate. I'm like, really? Am I missing something here? I like to discuss, because apparently there's a lot of people out there not happy with him.
Wow, dude.
We can get to that on the other side. And also, yeah, again, I'll put a bow on this. I'll put a bow on Brandon on the other side.
Oh, yeah, we'll talk Brandon Ayuk. Yeah,
there's also... I'm sorry, what? Curry was third-team All-NBA last year. Oh, boy, he's falling off a cliff. Still the best guy in Paris. All right, coming up on the other side, Dan's going to talk to us about why Steve Kerr's on the hot seat.
I don't have him on the hot seat.
Well, why some people have him on the hot seat. And we will also get you set again for tomorrow. The 49ers do have a preseason game, 5 o'clock kick against the Saints. A couple of big storylines to get to. A couple of players that have also stood out. I'm curious to get Carter's thoughts, who's been at training camp on the other side of that as well, as we wrap up our second to final segment. Final segment coming up on the other side. Evan Giddings and Dan Devone.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
On 95.7 The Game, we're back after this. Last segment here on 95.7 The Game here on a Saturday. We do it every Saturday night at noon. Evan Giddings and Dan Devone. And I just want to give a shout out to my dad who's listening down south and reminded me that I have to address the subtle I'm turning 30 comment from the last segment. Yes, I am. And I think he's what he's trying to jokingly point out to the audience is, you know, I'm getting old, Dan. I'm getting old. And I can feel it in my lumbar right now.
You're getting old. Come on, man. What's the old joke? I got a pair of socks. They're 30. Hey, when is the, how far away are you?
About 24 hours.
Oh! Yeah. Do we know this, Carter?
Yeah, that's one of the reasons we're going to the Bay Bridge game tonight.
Ah, all right.
Yeah.
We're celebrating.
Going to be soaking some suds, if you know what I mean.
We should be pre-funking here in a little bit.
Well, we could be, but you're flying out right after the show. You're going to take me to Terminal 1 at SFO?
Well, I'll tell you what, man. That's a good place to be.
Place like Caesar's Palace.
It really is. By the way, the new Harvey Milk Terminal, Terminal 1, used to be Terminal 2. That was sort of the go-to at SFO. Now Terminal 1 has trumped all of that. It's crazy, man. They have everything, and it's plush, and you sit down and you can recline. It's like being in the lobby of a five-star Las Vegas hotel.
So you've been in the lobby of a five-star hotel.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you've walked through Bellagio.
In Paris and Cannes, Frankfurt.
It's got all the amenities, man. I love that stuff.
I think I've finally gotten to the bottom of it. What set you over the edge for Aaron Rodgers was the fact that now he can say he's also been to Egypt.
And you've never been to Egypt.
Well, I mean, but if you said I climbed the pyramids of Giza, I'd probably believe you.
What has he done in Egypt? Is that where he's dropping acid?
I think it's ayahuasca.
I actually have been in the pyramids in Egypt, and the lights went out when I was there. And I've never been so grateful for smokers because they all had their lighters and were able to guide us out. It was quite something.
So tell me about this. When it comes to the pyramids in Egypt, I heard it's gotten really commercialized.
Where's the outlet?
I'm not sure, to be honest.
that's just to my point. I hear it's gotten really commercialized. Like there's souvenirs and there's merchandise that they're selling there. It just doesn't sound right if you go into the pyramids.
Well, if you can make money off of anything, you do it.
Like if you ever go to St. Patrick's Cathedral in New York City on Fifth Avenue, St. Patrick's Cathedral, it's iconic, right? It's where the Kennedys got married. Now you walk into that thing, and before you even get to a pew, they're selling souvenirs, they're selling t-shirts, they're selling St. Patrick's hats inside the cathedral. I mean, you talk about blasphemy. My goodness.
Well, I mean, if you go to the Vatican, it's like you're sitting there. You can buy 18 posters for €1 million, and they're all different sizes. You can pick up a coffee mug that said, I am Catholic. I mean, I don't know. I feel like there's a million different ways you could get money. In fact, I feel like a lot of the ancient religious sites now have entry fees. Like, you don't just walk in and splash holy water on yourself and say three Hail Marys. You got to pay, a dollar. You got to give a foot and a limb up front.
You know, it used to be the biggest sacrilege back in the day in New York City. There was a place called Limelight, and it was a church.
Sounds like your kind of spot.
It was an abandoned church, but it was also the best club in New York. And it just was a little sort of, for those of us that grew up, I have Catholicism littered all over my upbringing. But I mean, I would hear stories about this place with people making out in pews, and it's just like, it was a church, but it was a club in New York City. And I just think that I think people would have to struggle with their sort of religious beliefs before just getting sideways in a church. Would you go to, if San Francisco had a church that was a converted church that was going off as the nightclub, Would you have any qualms just going there, cutting it up, getting crazy and doing your thing?
Dude, if I could drink, I'd be in church every Sunday.
Let's get out on that. Hey, Carter, can you cover the last 20 minutes? That's a mic drop.
Who works on the Sabbath? I mean, seriously. I'm sitting in a pew with a Pacifico and a lime. I'm talking to God for 3 hours.
Man, I'm getting out of here because there's a lightning bolt that's crashing through this place any second.
Yeah, we're all going to hell anyways. No, but it does remind me, my favorite place in Stockholm in a little neighborhood called Soldermalm was this restaurant called Haktet, and it is a converted prison. And it's been around for, I don't know, a few hundred years. But they turned it into a restaurant and a bar. And then at night, it kind of becomes like a club. They had a DJ there. Oh, wow. And so there's a back dimly lit room you can go down into what I can only assume was a dungeon. And there's probably people tortured down there. But it turns into actually a nice friendly place to, you know, meet some people if you need to. And it was just a fantastic. It sounds a lot like Limelight.
Yeah.
Except it's
the it wasn't best a church. Place that I went to in New York City that there used to be. It looked like a food vendor, right? It used to be down in Soho. And it was a late-night taqueria that was only, I believe was only open like Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Saturdays. And you would go there. And it was a front where there was like this long counter where you would get really good tacos and burritos. It'd be like 2, 3 o'clock in the morning. It's New York, so it's open late, especially during the summer. But if you knew somebody, which I did,
of course
they would take you around the counter. Through the kitchen, you got all these guys, you know, screaming in Spanish.
I'm imagining you in a Johnny Cash suit.
And then you go drop down these stairs, and then you go down another level of stairs, and I kid you not, you go into the most plush lounge club, and you're like, what the hell is this doing here? Because the front is this taqueria that is this typical greasy spoon, but you would literally have to meander through the kitchen, drop down the stairs, go through a door, and down in the bowels is like this, not only this club, but this club, because I went with this former NBA player, this guy, and he, like, there were all these sort of women that would hang out with former basketball players. It was just like the quality of people in the basement of this taqueria was...
That's where, like, Jalen Brunson goes.
Hey, don't listen. Do we really want to go there? Because we could talk about the New York Knickerbockers who are going to dethrone the Boston Celtics
for dominance
out in the Eastern Conference, man. Because do not forget that we're getting Randall back into the mix to go along with Brunson.
Where are you
did
from?
Did I get French on
where
you?
Are we?
Did I just break out of wee-wee?
Well, you just got back from there.
I am telling you now with Mikal Bridges into the mix, come on, man. You don't think they can challenge the Boston Celtics?
Well, they can. I think they're right now the second best constructed team in the East. It's them and Philly, along with the Sixers, or along with the Celtics.
In that order?
I would say Celtics, Knicks, and then I still got to see with the Sixers, but between them and the Cavaliers, I think those are the top four teams to me in the East. Maybe Orlando. If their young guys can take some strides,
that's
a pretty significant jump. That to me rounds up the top four. It is funny to me though, Dan, because like you're a city guy, you're from the sunset, out in the fog. Today's weather is your weather, and every single time the city of New York is brought up, it's like you're Gotham's Dark Knight. Oh. You just get the cape out. And start telling me how great the other side of the world is.
The problem I have, and Carter's from the city, right? Yeah, so...
No, like 17th generation.
I love San Francisco. I mean, I always will, right? This is it for me. I love this place. But one thing growing up in the Richmond District, in the Sunset District, or... Because if you live in... The microclimates of San Francisco are more so than any other place in the world.
That I agree
so
with.
So while you're basking in the sun out in... In the Mission,
yeah.
I'm freezing my ass off out in the Richmond District. Although we're all within, you know, the parameters that is San Francisco. So when you're in that fog and you're sort of just like, it reminds me of a perpetual sort of dark cloud that would hang over Seattle for those 8 to 9 months of the year. And they're just sort of a sap of energy and you just sort of go from place to place. In New York, you walk out your front door and you'll walk two city blocks and you'll see more. Now, granted, some of what it is that you see you know, it may not be of high quality, but you will see more ground. On those. Now, you can do that in San Francisco these days.
That's true.
Walgreens online, too. But if you go two blocks in New York City, you're going to see more than you would in 6 months in San Francisco.
But that's also, I mean, New York City is just, it's a different beast. And that I appreciate the speed of San Francisco, I think, a little bit more. Look, I grew up in the East Bay where things are also much sleepier and slower. Yes. And the weather also is different.
Huh? Where the quail has the right of way. What's the name of that city you grew up in?
Excuse me? The quail.
I'm just trying
I know. No, I'm from El Cerrito.
El Cerrito. All right.
It's Spanish for the hill.
Thank you.
You know, in case you needed that.
All right.
But look, to get back, I'm trying to figure out how to transition here.
But you got a city vibe. You don't strike me as I would have a hard time sort of getting along with or butting up to someone from, you know, that's Bridge and Tunnel.
Well, I always.
You got a city soul.
Well, I loved living in Coal Valley.
Can we adopt him as an honorary city guy, Carter, you think?
Yeah,
I think so.
Oh, appreciate you guys.
No doubt.
Although, I still don't know if you're going to be able to get me out to the marina. I mean,
you actually might be more city than us.
I don't touch landfill that often. And we're on the bridge right now, or on the edge, I should say. I think Montgomery's the water line, technically. We're on the edge. I'm getting close.
Well, by the way, just to let the fans know at home, if they want to join us, at 12:30 p.m. a week from today, we will be at Monahan's, that being Carter, our producer.
Just putting a PSA.
Evan, is it sponsored by the station, by the way?
Devon's picking up the tab, everyone.
No, I'm more than happy to. If I invite you, like, I've never been a guy to split a tab. Like, that. Don't do that. Don't do that. Like, let's pull a runner if we're going to do that.
I've learned that the hard way.
Like, I will take care of it. I will take care of it. So, I've invited you gentlemen to Monahan's.
I'm a cheap date. Don't worry about it.
Yeah. Okay, dude, come on, man. I've heard about you. You're going to crush me. I have to take another mortgage out on the house after buying you drinks.
I mean, okay, so you exercise, you know, your arms and your quads and your calves.
Tom, what are you talking about?
Dude, you came in here in a sweat.
Well, it's,
I mean, it's like
I
you ran from the it's like you ran from the Richmond district this morning. No, but you also got to exercise your liver every once in a while.
Oh, okay, that's what you're telling yourself.
That's T minus 4 hours.
Big weekend for Evan.
Big weekend coming
that's
up.
Right.
I've been stretching all week, honestly, because you know, look, Dan, I'm getting old, man.
Old. You're hitting let me tell you, it's just like an athlete when you hit that 30 plateau. It's
I'm Curry. Like I'm starting to see the end.
Ah, no, man, it's just beginning for you.
Pajemski?
No, look at our man who is on ESPN.
McAfee?
It's the guy he does.
He's losing some definition, by the way. He's got to put those cutoffs
what's up. Yeah, he's got to stop. Is the tank top just part of the shtick?
It's got to be. I mean, he's got the. But he's too corporate to play the redneck part to me anymore. Like, I used to watch the show and it was a little more internet based. And he was. I mean, he's still free off the tongue, but I think.
How's he getting away with the S bombs on ESPN?
Yeah, same reason that the Giants are getting away with a 500 record, money. I don't know.
And does A.J. Hawk just sit there with a stone face and that jawline?
Dude, I swear to God, I've never heard him say a word.
No, I don't think he does.
Unless Aaron Rodgers is on the show.
I think. I think he just makes anyone else look good in that two, or makes everybody look good in that two shot because of just that, you know, he's got that jawline. Maybe he just looks good sitting there not saying anything.
Yeah, I always wonder, like, okay, so earlier this week, ESPN had some layoffs, right? RG3, Sam Ponder were the big names. RG3, like 2 years left on his contract, by the way. But they're going through layoffs. I do wonder if it's because of all the, you know, the kind of top-level talent that they've had to pay. Similar to some decisions that the Niners are having to make, like which big wigs are we going to keep? I do wonder where that takes the future of sports media and investing so much money. Like, for example, I think Stephen A. Smith, if he wanted to ask for, north of $10 million a year?
Well, he wants 25.
He wants $25 million?
Yeah, that's the asking price.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Are you his agent?
No, 25 million.
Well, you need to get in there.
25 mil. That's the number that's been bannered about.
Dude.
Because he leveraged this off of his podcast, which is like, I don't need you guys. I can go do my podcast full time, or I can obviously go elsewhere. No, 25 mil is the asking price, yeah.
He's going to be making Brandon Ayuk money?
And the reason why, I don't know if it was not Ponder so much, but the reason why RG3 was expendable is because he's going to slide Kelsey into his spot.
That's a good point. I mean, it's basically like
what do you think of Ponder? I didn't really watch NFL Countdown with her. She good?
I mean, probably at that level, replaceable. I've also seen them start to rotate in a lot of SportsCenter anchors into more of the talk shows, like the Gary Streiskys and, God, I forget who his SportsCenter anchor partner is, but they've started to use them on First Take, and it could just be, you know, filling gaps while they figure out what they're going to do next with those talk shows. But it's almost like, I mean, I guess it's the way of the world. You got to wear multiple caps. And so if you're just a SportsCenter anchor or you're just an ESPN, you know, Monday Night Countdown host or analyst, well, I'm sorry, we got somebody that can do a podcast, they can hop on McAfee, they can go to the studio show, they can also do games. And that's where I think Jason Kelce is probably separating himself, because he's also got, what, like the number one or number two sports podcast in the world?
Yeah.
With him and his brother, who, by the way, is a part of a football team. I think the only football team right now that I would rank a bit higher than the Niners. I mean, the Chiefs are just, I don't know how they do it, man. They're turning into the Patriots, and I hate it.
Well, it's Mahomes.
Well, but it's also Kelce. The guy's like 36 years old.
Yeah. But Kelce wasn't very good. He had a good Super Bowl, but throughout the regular season, there's been a serious decline.
It's just been more like a triumvirate. Him, Chris Jones, Patrick Mahomes. Yeah. It is interesting to me, though, in comparison to the Niners, who, and I think intelligently so, but have opted to
keep... By the way, before, I didn't mean to cut you off, but I'm going to lose my train of thought.
I do it all the time.
Betting man, right now, if we were to put scratch on the table.
Oh, geez.
Better chance that we see the first three-peat in the history of the NFL with that of the Kansas City Chiefs winning a Super Bowl this year. Never happened. Three in a row. Or the San Francisco 49ers getting back to the Super Bowl.
I would actually take the three-peat. I would.
Really?
I think I would bet on that.
Oh, no, the 49ers winning a Super Bowl, because there's never been a team. Is that right? I want to say.
Well, I also just think it's very difficult for, well, I guess it's never happened in the history of the NFL, so I'm talking out of my keister right now. But this Chiefs team, I have more confidence in winning the Super Bowl than I do of the 49ers getting back to the Super Bowl. I think that losing in that fashion is just really, really hard to overcome. And I think the example we saw last year was the Philadelphia Eagles. They were also 3 points away, or one score away from winning the Super Bowl and knocking off Mahomes. And the year after, they collapsed. And a big part of it was what we're talking about with Ayuk and Trent Williams, distractions. And a lot of it had to do with the relationship between the head coach and quarterback, which fortunately is steadfast in San Francisco. But I find it hard to believe that there's not some residue of getting that close to the mountaintop and failing.
There's certainly an emotional side to all of this that has to be taken into account. But I like to think that maybe the Niners are just maybe a cut above because of that burning desire, Kyle Shanahan. I really think that Shanahan's opportunity of winning that Super Bowl, Emmanuel Sanders has got to step on a defender, and Jimmy Garoppolo. Jimmy Garoppolo just put it on him, and everybody go home happy.
Real quick, looking back on it, I don't know how many people have had this thought or have said it out loud, but Kyle Shanahan using Jimmy Garoppolo to get to a Super Bowl is maybe one of the most underrated feats that will ever be accomplished in the NFL.
Well, if you were to look side by side,
the guy's going to be out of the league.
Now he is. Well, but then this lends towards Brock Purdy being a system quarterback, because if you were to put their numbers up side by side, their first 3 years in the NFL, Brock Purdy and Jimmy Garoppolo are very similar, aside from the interceptions. The touchdown to interception ratio, I think, is a little bit more evident that Brock Purdy was better, but very, very similar, which again gets back to Austin's call some 2 hours ago that people want to make that argument that he's a system quarterback not worthy of $60 million anywhere else other than San Francisco.
Yeah, that's a fair criticism, but I also think this team is a lot better. And now that might contribute in making Purdy look better, or, you know, play better. He's got better weapons. But you look at that 2019 team, and that defense was,
that was
amazing. But their best offensive weapon, your point was, by the end of the season, Emmanuel Sanders. Debo Samuel was a rookie. George Kittle was damn good that season.
They had no wide receivers.
And he took that offense to a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And they absolutely steamrolled the two teams they played in the playoffs to get there.
Yeah.
That's the other part, too, that I think is a reason why I have my doubts about the Niners getting back to the Super Bowl. The only time that they've done it is when they've been the one seed. And I find it hard to believe that they're going to be the one seed again this year. I do think that they'll take a step back a game or two. And if you have to win 12 or 13 games to be the one seed, to get that elusive bye.
But again, who is it? I know that there's a few teams, but at least as of right now, and you never know, right? Maybe Detroit is legit, but everybody has warts on them. Detroit, Green Bay, good, but not proven. Philadelphia, maybe. So as we look at it, the landscape of the NFC right now, there isn't somebody where you would just point at and say, well, look out for Philly this year, or clearly it's, you know, fill in the blank. So in that regard, you know, the Niners have as good a shot as anybody at being that number one seed.
Well, and again, they're playing their second game of the preseason tomorrow, 5 o'clock, Saints-Niners. We'll have overtime here on 95.7 The Game. But I think that, look, if I was to ask you this betting question, I don't know, I guess you're not a gambling man, but if you were to bet on the Niners as the one seed versus the field, who would you take?
Yeah, I might have to take the field.
And last year, I would take the Niners.
Yeah.
And I think we did this exercise at some point on the radio last year. And last year, I felt like it was the Niners. The Niners were not just the clear-cut team in the NFL, but they had everything, motivationally speaking, moving in their favor. The only wrinkle in that was the Bosa potential holdout. But the rest of that team was full go. And Brock Purdy was coming off an injury, but he looked like he was going to be healthy. And then after week one, when they decimated the Pittsburgh Steelers, it was like, all right, this team is ready to ride. And they got everything emotionally in their favor. I just think it's very, very difficult when you get so close to achieving your goal and then have it swept out from under you to just get right back there like nothing. Honestly, if they get back to the Super Bowl this year, that to me would be a feat unto itself.
Who is your sleeper this year? If you were to pick a team that comes out of nowhere, that nobody's mentioning out of the NFC this year?
That nobody's mentioning. Well, I think a lot of people have mentioned the Chicago Bears. They're a pretty sexy pick.
Hey, how about Drake May? They look pretty good, no?
What about him?
Come on. I think Brandon Ayuk needs to rethink that deal, that trade. Yeah, you sure they want to give you the $32 million? Drake May?
Oh, they wanted to give them that money. By the way, the team that I do think that I think they're a top-notch squad, but I don't hear a lot of people talking about them, and I've mentioned them multiple times. I think it's the Philadelphia Eagles. Like, the Eagles
are considered perennially in that sort of... I'm talking about the dark horse.
Well, no, but people have been talking, I think, more about either the distractions in Dallas, the dominance of Detroit, the up-and-coming Packers team, the dark horse that is the Rams. I don't hear people, at least maybe it's on this station, I got my blinders on, talking about how good the Eagles are. They're one of the few teams that can legitimately say they got better this offseason. And they were a collapse away from maybe making a postseason run last year. I think that's enough.
You ready for my dark horse?
Who's your dark horse?
Sam Darnold and the Minnesota Vikings. Oh. Good night, everybody.
On that note, I mean, that is Sam Darnold.
Reclamation Project.
That's a name that I did not think I'd have to hear for a long
time. Well, you will, because J.J. McCarthy's out for the season.
Yeah, has any team had more injury trouble in training camp than they have?
No. Oh, actually, I take that back. All right, if you want a true dark horse, the Atlanta Falcons. Yeah, the Atlanta Falcons.
You're in on Kirk Cousins?
I'm in on that defense, honestly. And I'm in on the playmakers that they have on offense. And I'm in on an offensive coordinator that will finally give the ball to Bijan Robinson, Kyle Pitts, Drake London, and everybody else they got on that side of the ball.
Michael Penix is starting by week six.
That we can bet on. And we'll pay it off next week right here on 95.7 The Game. 12:30, get to Monahan's. Talk about it next week. Big thank you to Carter Chickering. Big thank you to my man Dan Devone. Big thank you to everyone else who has listened out there today, whether it's on Xfinity Mobile Text Line, our YouTube and Twitch chat, powered by First NorCal Credit Union. My name is Evan Giddings saying so long. We'll talk to you next Saturday right here on 95.7 The Game.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges. And acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.